They haven't learned yet to guard their mouth because they haven't suffered enough consequences. So if you learn nothing else from this story, you can learn this. Don't tell anything to a child that you don't want repeated loudly and in the worst possible circumstances.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
And again, good morning. Once knew a man, good man, flawed, as we all are flawed. And what I want to tell you this morning, this little story I tell with a great deal of trepidation on at least three accounts. One, I do not wish to whitewash anyone's shortcomings in an inappropriate way. Two, I also don't wish to really discredit the wife of a friend of mine who has now long since gone on to glory. And three, I don't want to offend the sensibilities of anybody present. I stand in danger on all these counts, but this story will help me make the point I want to make, so I will tell it. One of this man's flaws was a degree of racism that he held, largely, I think, because he was older than I and had been raised in the South a couple of generations back, and it just kind of stuck with him. I wish to add, much to his credit, that before he passed from this life, I think he had shed almost all of that old sentiment, and I believe now in glory there remains in him no trace of that inappropriate attitude or any other. But one of the flaws of his youth, which he carried into his adult life, was that he referred to black people by the familiar racially charged term that I will not repeat this morning. His sons grew up hearing that word from his lips pretty often, various and sundry occasions. And one day, when they were in a grocery store, a black family took their place in line behind my friend. And his four-year-old boy pointed to the people behind them and said, "Look, Daddy!" and used that word. My friend thought fairly quickly, I guess. He thrust his hand into his pocket and came out with a coin and said, "Nickel? Sure, you can have a nickel," trying to cover up what had actually been said. And that was the beginning of my friend rethinking his vocabulary, rethinking the example that he set for his sons, and honestly rethinking how boldly he held his own convictions about certain things. See, it's one thing to talk about something or express an attitude in the security of your own home and entrenched in your own community, where if people don't exactly agree with you, they probably will not go far out of their way to attack you for something they disapprove of. And it's entirely another thing to be out there in the public where a different level of judgment and a different sort of consequences may fall upon you. And when you have to think about facing the consequences for what you say, you not only care for what you say, you begin to evaluate exactly why I would have liked to have said that in the first place. But kids always speak without regard to consequence. They haven't learned yet to guard their mouth because they haven't suffered enough consequences. So if you learn nothing else from this story, you can learn this. Don't tell anything to a child that you don't want repeated loudly and in the worst possible circumstances. The word boldness appears in today's passage. In the New American Standard Version, we see the word confidence in verse 29 and the word boldness in verse 31. These are actually two translations of the same Greek word, and why the translators chose to use confidence here and boldness there, I have no idea, but for the sake of the sermon, understand that it's the same word, and we will go with boldness. And the Greek word is, like many Greek words, a compound word made up of two other words. The words independently mean freely and talking. Freely talking. Free utterance. To be able to say what's on your mind without regard for consequences. That is kind of a virtue we hold up in this country. Freedom of speech. The ability to be able to say what is on your mind without fear of consequences. And in the New Testament sense, it could be understood in one of two ways. You have this kind of boldness, A, when you think, well, I can say this because there are no consequences that are going to happen to me. Nobody can touch me, so I'm just going to say it. Or you can have boldness, and particularly need boldness, when this is something I need to say, and bad things may happen to me as a result, but so be it. I need to say this. I'm going to say this, whatever the cost. Either you can't touch me, or bring it on. Both of these would fall under the New Testament umbrella of boldness. Now, before we took a break for Youth Sunday and then had another go at one of the Psalms, we left the apostles in the third chapter of the book of Acts, Peter and John having just healed a lame man. And on that occasion, we looked at the whole process of coming to agreement with God, especially coming to agree with God about the nature and identity of Jesus Christ. And we saw that even on that occasion, there were those who did not come into such an agreement with God. There were those who did. There were those who did not. The dissenters, here in chapter 4, arrest Peter and John, question them about by what or whose authority they have done and said the things they have done and said. And then they threaten them and say, if you go out there and do this stuff anymore, even if you leave off the miracles, but you just keep preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, go out there and do that some more and you will be in big trouble. Severe harm threatened should they preach in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the authorities did not punish them at the moment because they had just performed this notable miracle right out in the open in the sight of everyone. And public favor tends to run high for people who can do that sort of amazing thing. So it was, we're going to let you off this time, but don't test us. Don't make me stop this car and come back there, because I will. Peter and John are released. They share with their fellow believers the report of what happened. And you'd have to understand that a good number of their fellow believers had not expected to see them again this side of heaven. When Peter and John were hauled off by the hostile authorities, a lot of their friends started working on the eulogies right then, getting ready for the service. And now they come back, and they come back okay. And they say, what? What? They let you go? They didn't even beat you? They didn't seize your property? Man. God has got this preaching the gospel thing covered. And they begin to quote lines from the second psalm where it is said that the foolish nations resist God and devise futile plans to try to oppose His will. And God laughs at them, Psalm 2 says. And they think to themselves, the nations and authorities were all gathered against Jesus Christ, and He rose from the dead. The nations and the authorities were all gathered against Peter and John, but they had to let them go. And here they are, alive and unharmed. Oh, God, give us all the grace to go out and proclaim the gospel boldly. Be careful what you ask God for. The echoes of their prayer had not finished bouncing around the room when God shook the place and the Holy Spirit descended on them, and they went forth preaching with boldness, that is, uttering the gospel fearlessly. without any regard for consequence. And the consequences were coming. Just because they don't happen in chapter 4 doesn't mean they aren't happening. We find them by the time we get to chapter 7. There will be persecutions. There will be beatings. There will be killings. These things are going to happen. They proclaim the gospel anyway. The testimony of the saints is best biblically defined this way. They did not love their lives, even to the death. So these early believers saw the need for boldness. Both the secular and religious authorities of their society were assembled against them. Need for boldness. And they saw cause for boldness. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Peter and John preached Jesus Christ and got off scot-free. Cause for boldness. And then they prayed that they would receive boldness commensurate with the need, inspired by the cause. And they did receive such boldness. Wouldn't it be great if the same thing could be said of the church today? I mean, wouldn't it be great if we were bold in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, there's still a need, and I do not pretend that it has gotten as dire for us as for those guys. But there are any number of Christians in the world today who still pay a high price for their faith, including death, for believing and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not there yet, or at least only in very, very isolated incidents. So I'll set aside for the moment all those who have and still do face far worse, not because the topic of martyrdom is unimportant, but rather because even if it never gets any worse in our setting than it already is, we already have a need for boldness. There is a growing atheist, secularist population here in our society who insist that if we Christians would just trundle, that's their favorite word for this application. I have run across it 100 times. If you would just trundle off to church on Sundays, sing your little songs, eat the cracker and drink the juice, and count yourself satisfied, and leave it there. If you would just do that, we'd all get along with you a lot better. What they mean is that they don't want to encounter our beliefs on their beloved social media. They don't want the beliefs, read the beliefs of still the majority of the country. They don't want those beliefs in any way encoded into law, printed on the money, quoted in the pledge to the flag, stamped on town seals, hung in courthouses, reproduced on postage stamps, enshrined in the halls of Congress, produced by Hollywood. They don't want it in any way to impinge upon their consciousness or existence. So, trundle, people. Or, even many believers who have been secularized to the extent that they wish religion to be a private affair, create a similar problem for us. You can believe whatever you want, but I shouldn't have to hear about it. Evangelism is a social offense, an affront to my individuality. The more so when you get past just proclaiming that there is a God and get down to insisting on something that resembles the biblical code of righteousness. Now you're not believing, you're interfering and meddling. Learn to trundle. Multiculturalists are somewhat okay with your beliefs, as long as you don't believe that what you believe is better than what anybody else believes, which means that you should not believe that Jesus is the only way to God and that those who do not accept Jesus are in any sense lost. And if you do believe such a horribly offensive thing, you ought to have the good sense not to say it out loud, because that would be racist, sexist, xenophobic, intolerant, prejudicial, hate-mongering. still trundle. Or, let's say your personal beliefs are sufficiently sincerely held to make you think that perhaps you do not wish your professional services to be employed in ceremonies and celebrations that are in opposition to your belief system. And even as I say this, I want you all to understand something about me. There is more than one way to understand this problem. I want you to understand something about me. If I were a florist or a baker, I would sell the stupid flowers and cake. I would just sell them to whomever, and I would not worry about it. I would not feel like my selling flowers to someone involved me in the disagreement about values over how they would decorate what affair with those flowers. My conscience would not trouble me with that. If I were a carpenter, I'd build a house for a Buddhist. If I were a plumber, I'd clean a drain for a druid. I could keep going with the alliterations, but they're silly. The word of the New Testament does not make me feel like I need to deny secular services to the unsaved, unregenerate, or people who disagree with me about whatever particular value. However, I do understand the power of conscience. And I'm just going to say this. I would not perform a same-sex marriage ceremony. I just won't. It would be asking me to pronounce the blessing of God on something that I have no authority to place the blessing of God on. And that's my conscience. I'm not telling other people where they have to meet their conscience, but I'm going to ask a question. If another person's conscience might convict them that they should not sell the flowers, as I would just sell the flowers, could it be that such sincerely held beliefs could bring down the force of law on an individual and cost them hundreds and thousands of dollars, the right to practice their trade, and possibly their freedom? And the answer is, it's already happened. It continues to happen. So learn to trundle, people. Or we could pray for boldness. And I don't even mean that we have to go out there and fight with other people about the portions of values where we disagree all the time. There's a time and a place for that. But just where the name of Jesus Christ is concerned, we have not learned elementary boldness. And we could pray to be shaken and convicted and to feel the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the extent that we can barely help ourselves, but to speak the name of Jesus Christ regardless of any and all consequences. We could do that. We should do that. The first generation of Christians spoke the word of God with boldness. Let us not be the generation that learns to trundle. Now we come here, and here in this comfortable, familiar setting, we affirm our faith, and that is great. But the process is not complete until we carry that faith out the door and into the community and speak the name Jesus Christ there. And I know that not everyone is an evangelist by calling or by gifting. It is not a cop out to say that, because the New Testament says that. Not everyone is gifted in the same areas. Not everyone is an evangelist, but there are some things that we can all do. Let me ask you a simple question. How many of you this week, at least once, maybe a dozen times or more, have said to someone, bye, see you later, see you soon, take care? Hands up. Okay. I'm just going to ask you a question. Would it have been harder to say, God bless you? God bless you. That wouldn't have been any harder, would it? And would it not have accomplished more? How many of you see something good happen and your response is, oh, I don't know, it's like, well, all right, hot dog, woohoo! Right? Would it have been any harder to respond with praise Jesus? Not only would it not have been harder, it would have been a more true, spiritual, and helpful response. How many of you have encountered someone recently for whom things are going bad physically, economically, emotionally? And maybe you say to that person, bummer. Oh, I feel it. I feel for you. Maybe we could say to that person, let me pray with you. And maybe right there in public sometimes you can take a hold of somebody's hand and you can just say a quick little prayer with them, for them. And I think that would accomplish more. Maybe we could develop the habit of meditating on just a verse or two of Scripture for a couple of weeks or even a month at a time. Just pick a couple of verses of Scripture. Meditate on those. If you meditate on them for 2 weeks, you will memorize it. You won't be able to help yourself. And I'm going to make you a promise. If you will do that, if you will just pick a verse or two and you will meditate on it for a month, I promise you that you will have an opportunity to quote that verse in a meaningful context in your community of friends. I promise you that will happen. And it would be good. And it would be helpful. And there are other things I could mention, all equally simple. And if we were to do them consistently and intentionally, what's to stop us? Maybe some small degree of social embarrassment stands in the way. If so, call that a consequence and get over it. Speak the word of God with boldness anyway. Speak it freely without regard for the consequence. Do we believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Yes? Well, if God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, do you believe that He can shepherd us through a little social awkwardness? If there are worse consequences to come, and there may be, speaking the word with boldness may not always go down well with your family. It may not be well received on the job. It may mean that you don't get the office you were running for. It may mean, it increasingly means that you become the subject of legal action. It happens all the time. But I'm going to ask you again, do we believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead? If God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, don't you think He can handle these problems? Speak the word with boldness. And if there are consequences, leave them to God. The original Christians prayed for boldness, and they received. Let's pray. Father God, give us a heart overflowing with Your Spirit, ready, willing, anxious to speak Your word to all those we encounter. Make us bold, for we ask it in Jesus' name.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.